What's up, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Off the Record. I'm your host, Imogen Marshall, and as always, please remember to rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. All the details are on our website at www.offtherecorduk.com. Now, before we welcome this week's guest, we have the news. So we're really starting to ramp back into the swing of things with bits more news and loads more releases this week. So Rascal Flatts have announced that they'll be doing their farewell tour this year. They'll be doing loads of dates in the States. So obviously there's been loads of speculation whether this really is the end for the band. We're really hoping that they're not, but you know, farewell tour kind of in the name, but we shall see. Rhett Atkins and his wife Sonia have announced they're expecting a baby boy, so congratulations to them. In a slightly interesting bit of news, there's been loads of speculation in the past of Dolly Parton and her tattoos, and she has confirmed that she does have some hidden tattoos, so there you go. Dustin Lynch's Ride and Roads has hit number one, so congratulations to them. He will obviously be releasing his new album this week called Tullahoma, and we've had a little listen to it, and it is fantastic. You guys are in for a treat, so watch this space. Lanco's Eric Steedley, who's one of the big guitarists, has announced that he has engaged his longtime girlfriend Jessica Wardwell, so congratulations to them. And finally, there was a bit of news, which is Maren Morris celebrated her 8-year anniversary in Nashville. So crazy how much has happened in 8 years for her in her life. So there you go. Finally, we just wanted to run through the announcement that was the CMA International Award nominees. So the Joe Walker Meader International Award recognises outstanding achievement by an individual in advocating and supporting country music's marketing development in territories outside the United States. This is something that's really important to us. Obviously, we will have to work with a lot of different concerts and record labels, so we're really supportive of all these awards. But John Esposito from Warner Music in Nashville, Christina Sass from UMG International, Brad Turcotte from Universal Music Group Nashville, and Chris York from SJM Concerts have all been nominated. In terms of International Media Achievement Award, Tiffany Astell from Canada, Matthias Bridfelt from Sweden, and Claire Horton from the UK, we love Claire, and Vane Leonard, who's obviously Country Hits UK DJ, were all nominated. In terms of International Artist Achievement Award, Dan and Shay, Lil Nas X, and Billy Ray Cyrus, Kit Moore, Maren Morris, and Keith Urban were nominated. And this is recognizing an outstanding achievement by a United States-based artist who has demonstrated the most significant creative growth, development, and promotion of the country music industry outside of the US. So I think our money's really behind Kit Moore because he's really, 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 really worked with his audience in the UK. Obviously been doing loads of tours, and I think he's just done... He's really a model of someone to follow in terms of international development. In terms of International Country Broadcaster Award, Ben Earl from the Shires has got a nod, as has Paul Ferguson from Canada and Amanda Kingsland from Canada. Finally, the Jeff Walker Global Country Artist Award. This is so Ilse DeLange from the Netherlands, James Barkerbaum from Canada, and Jill Johnson from Sweden have all been nominated. So congratulations to all the nominees, and it'll be really interesting just to see who those awards go to. Now, and finally, in terms of releases for this week, we had the amazing sophomore album from Tennille Arts called Love, Heartbreak, and Everything in Between. We will be doing a review of that. It'll be posted on the site shortly, and we'll also obviously have a little interview from the archives with Tennille Arts, so I really hope you guys enjoy this. My standout track from the album was definitely Call You Names, as was Butterfly Effect. I think they're both beautiful, really gorgeous tracks, definitely worth a listen. Today, Ashley McBride also released her new track, Martha Divine, which is amazing. I don't think Ashley McBride can do much wrong, but this is such a different track, and it's really, really interesting to see her trajectory, and I just think you guys will be blown away by this, so definitely go to that one and listen. Brandi Clark also released her new track, Who You Thought I Was, which is beautiful. It's really Bruce Brandy showcasing her voice, her powerful songwriting, and it's stunning. Gabby Barrett also released her new track, Hall of Fame, that I'm not going to lie, for me was a bit of a disappointment in comparison to I Hope and Good Ones. It's definitely worth a listen, but it's not, for me, on the same calibre as the other tracks that she's released. And Little Big Town released the title track from their new album, Nightfall. I'm so excited for the Little Big Town album to come out this week. And I will let you guys know the thoughts on next week's podcast. So that's been your news for this week. now we've got a chat for you all from back during Country Music Week. This is Tennille Arts talking all about her forthcoming album, which is now out, her experience in the UK and so much more. So I hope you guys enjoy this chat. Please welcome Tennille Arts.
So first trip to the UK?
Yeah.
How do you know what to expect kind of from the UK audience or anything? Did you have any expectations joining Country Music Week?
I had heard that everybody over here really loves the lyrics and really listens to the music, which I
is
think...
so important with your song particularly.
Yeah, like... it's so important. And, you know, you get that a little bit in Nashville with, you know, like listening rooms and the Bluebird and things like that. But it's definitely not like that everywhere you perform. And so I'm excited to see what it's like.
It's been a busy few months for you because you made your Opry debut back in September.
I did,
right?
Yeah.
How was that? Because that's just such a, it's such an honour and amazing experience for people. So can you talk a bit about how much that meant to you?
Yeah, I still feel like I'm on a high from that. It was so much fun. And my entire family flew down from Canada to be at my debut.
Which is so special because you don't get, as an artist, you don't get to share every single moment like that with your family.
So it's very special to be able to share it with everybody. And you know, I made sure to just take it in.
Yeah.
Because I think sometimes you can get so nervous in those like big pressure situations.
And you almost black out and you're like, I don't remember what happened.
I know. Yeah. So I really wanted to try and take it in. And I think I did that.
Yeah. And you obviously grew up back in Canada. So kind of what was it like there sort of growing up in terms of the musical scene? Have you always had music, country music kind of like through your veins?
Yeah. I grew up listening to country music. Yeah. I loved it. It was, you know, what we listened to on the radio.
Yeah.
So I, you know, I grew up listening to the Dixie Chicks, Shania Twain, especially being from Canada. But I always knew that I wanted to go to Nashville because everybody's there, you know.
Everyone kind of has like a heart connection with it almost.
Yeah.
Like that's the place you want to be.
And there's not really like a hub for country music in Canada, so that's why I went to Nashville.
Yeah, and the first song I think I ever heard of yours was Wildfire and Whiskey, which like automatically it was just the songwriting thing. I just feel like it's such a key... The clever lyrics and the storytelling lyrics are so important in your music. So has that been something you've always done or...
I've always tried to think like that and just, you know, I grew up listening to music where the lyrics were really important.
Yeah.
So I think that's what I tried to do with my music and just be honest and real and talk about real stuff that you're going through because I think that's the only way that people are really going to be able to relate.
For sure. And two of your tracks were on The Bachelor, which obviously kind of like blew them up a bit. how did that kind of come about? And also it must be kind of a crazy, weird experience like performing in front of like a couple and kind of like having like an intimate moment. You're like, what is happening? All these camera crews and everything.
Yeah. It was definitely a unique experience, I will say that, performing for, you know, just the couple, and you don't know where to look, and you don't want to, like, stare at them, but it came about because my manager had been sending music to them for a while, and they heard a couple of songs that they really loved, and so the first time I played a song called Moment of Weakness, which it almost sounded like we wrote it for the show, it was crazy, and then I Hate This was the second time that I performed, and that was more of, like, an audience thing, like there was actually people there.
Okay, that's a little bit a little bit more comfortable setting,
Normal for a concert setting. Yeah.
And then Rebel Child was obviously like the huge kind of your first really big project that you did. What was the kind of experience of putting together that album? I mean, it's just from start to finish, it's just beautifully done in terms
Thank
of
you.
The thought I think went into it as an album rather than just like. Because you do have to think about it as a kind of like collective project rather than just singles.
Yeah, I think, you know, it made sense to name it Rebel Child because there were just so many different sides of me in there, you know, like the younger, rebellious side and then, you know, growing up and realizing different things. And I put a lot of thought into that album and it was just so great to be able to release my first project. And I did that completely independently.
Which is
so...
It must be such a different process then from then to kind of now.
Yeah.
Like Revival Records.
Yes.
Yeah. So
it
must be very different kind of...
It is different. Honestly, it's been fun both times. So,
fun in different ways, kind of.
Yeah. So this time I've been able to more focus on the music and less on the little things that
the kind of like admin stuff.
Yeah,
like,
that kind of stuff that I mean, it's very stressful because you don't want to mess it up, and if you do, it's on you.
Sure. And you're like, I only have myself to blame.
Yes, exactly. So this time I've really enjoyed putting together my new album, and looking forward to releasing that.
Yeah, because the first two, I think, I don't know whether they're going to be on the album, but Call Me Nick, Call Me Names, and something like that. I absolutely, I feel like first one, it was such, like, the most relatable mother-daughter story that I've ever thought, because I feel like any girl listens to that and they're like, oh my God, that is me. So your mum, that must have meant a lot to her.
I think it did, yeah. She, the first time that I played it for her, she cried. And it was just a really special moment because I've always wanted to write her a song. And it just turned out that, you know, I wasn't the best kid when I was like 14, 15 years old. So it was nice
everyone
to be
goes
able
through
to
that phase. You're like, I'm like, oh, God.
Exactly.
Will those tracks be on the album, do we think?
They will be.
Because I definitely think it's like been a transition, obviously, since Rebel Child to these ones. This kind of feels like, it just feels like a step up from kind of the themes. And it just feels, do you feel like you found your kind of like groove and kind of like every time you kind of grow as an artist you feel like there's more you want to say almost?
Exactly, yeah. I thought I knew who I was when I put together Rebel Child, and now I'm kind of realizing like, oh no, there were a lot of things that I still had to figure out, and now I feel like, you know, with this album I definitely, there's a lot more content and just I've lived a lot more life. I went through my first like big breakup last year, and like,
which is always
everything.
Good fodder for
exactly it. I'm like, I feel like everybody around me was secretly like, yes, she went through a breakup.
You're
now, like, she's gonna
write songs. Yeah, like this misery love company or something.
Exactly.
And the one track I really wanted to ask you about on Rebel Child was Cold Feet, because I think I've listened to that song like 500 million times. So kind of, where did that song come from? And I mean, I don't think it was an experience that you necessarily went through. So, like,
Cold Feet?
Yeah.
Which one?
Cold Feet.
Okay,
sorry.
Yeah, no, I actually, that was the only song on the album that I didn't write. And it was a really, just a song that the first time I heard it, I was like, oh my gosh. It felt like, you know, like those Nicholas Sparks books.
Yeah. It feels like a story from beginning to end, doesn't it? And you're like, I can trace this, and you're like, what?
Yeah.
Nice. Who did she choose?
I know. It's like a real story song, which is what I love so much about country music. So, but I related to it in the way that kind of, you know.
I mean, you have to have that connection with the song and to make it part of your project.
Mm-hmm. And so for me, it was like looking back on a past relationship and always kind of like wondering, you know, like, oh, is that person going to come back into my life or no? You know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was beautiful, beautiful like rendition of it.
Thank you.
And I guess, so you're talking about the next project, kind of how far through it are you, and when do you think if you carried on doing singles until up to the album release, or kind of what's next, I guess?
So the album's done.
That's really exciting.
Yeah, I'm really, really excited. It's completely finished, and I think we're aiming for early 2020, like really early 2020. So
that's exciting. Yeah. So it's a good start to next year, mm-hmm. and then leading into, I guess, we'll see what happens off the back of that. It's always exciting times, isn't it? We're like, this movie, see how far it can fly. So it's just my final few questions. So wine or whiskey?
Wine.
Would you rather give up songwriting or performing?
Performing.
Yeah. I love it. I think I would do the same, actually. Is there a record you couldn't live without if you're stuck on a desert island?
A record I couldn't live without? Probably any Dixie Chicks record.
Yeah. Do you have a pre-show ritual?
Sorry, what was
do you have a pre-show ritual?
A pre-show ritual.
My accent is like too big.
No, I know. It's just I'm getting used to it. I've only been here for a couple days, but
you're like, my ears are not
but I will get it. It's like the first time when I went to the States, like in the southern states, I'm like, what are people saying? Pre-show ritual. Not really. I do some warm-ups and just try to chill out.
Yeah. And then complete the sentence. So music is?
Music is everything to me.
Country music is.
Country music is the best kind of music.
Yeah. And Tennille Arts is.
Tennille Arts is very happy to be in the UK.
Love it. Thank you so much.
So thank you so much to Tennille Arts for that. And make sure to go and give a listen to her album, Love, Heartbreak and Everything in Between. And that's been another episode of Off the Record. Hope to see you all next week for another episode. Have a great week. Bye, y'all.